I will present part of the results of work done with David Kutasov and Nati Zeiberg, which is on the net since yesterday with this ID. String theory on backgrounds with negative cosmological constants are defined through the ADS conformal field theory correspondence. Recently, this correspondent was studied extensively in the supergravity limit. This talk is about string theory on backgrounds with negative cosmological constant, concretely on ADS3. Two important points of this study are that standard Wellsheet construction produces direct relation to the boundary conformal field theory. And string theory automatically computes the interesting quantities like the correlation functions in the boundary conformal field theory. The analysis that I will present have applications to some problems of recent interest. The Virasoro algebra and affine Lie algebra in space-time are identified with an infinite number of holomorphic vertex operators. This is a rather familiar situation in string theory. The novelty here is that the number of such currents is infinity and they change masses of particles. BTZ black holes correspond to fundamental string states. The conjectured correspondence of ADS and the conformal field theory in this case is established in the full string theory. States contributing to the entropy of black objects with ADS3 near horizon geometry are identified. And the boundary coordinates of ADS3 are identified explicitly in string theory and hopefully may lead to a better understanding of holography. So let's start to work and consider bosonic string on ADS3 times some manifold N, or more precisely a target space for a conformal field theory that makes the central charge critical. Of course, this theory has a tachyon and is unstable, but this difficulty will disappear in the supersymmetric case that I may get to later. But still, the bosonic case is technically simpler and teach us quite a few things, at least up to a certain point, about the consistent superstring theory. And in any case, many of the things I will say for the bosonic case are immediately generalized to the superstring case. Now, ADS3 has SL2 times SL2 affine currents, J and J bar, forming the current algebra of SL2 with the signature plus plus minus. And it has level K and central charge 3K over K minus 2. I will pause for one transparency for a little simple geometry to set my notations. I will consider the Euclidean version of ADS3, namely the three-dimensional hyperboloid. When parameterized in radial coordinate R, Euclidean term tau, and angular coordinate theta, the metric takes this form, which you saw several times. Changing coordinates to phi gamma and its complex conjugate gamma bar, which explicitly is this coordinate change, leads to this metric, which is familiar to those of you as the SL2 metric obtained from the Gauss decomposition. The boundary of ADS3 is the R goes to infinity, parameterized by the coordinates tau and theta, namely the cylinder, and in the phi gamma coordinates it corresponds to phi goes to infinity. Well, at the boundary, gamma behaves like the exponent of minus tau plus I theta, namely gamma and gamma bar are holomorphic and anti-holomorphic coordinates parametrizing the sphere, and this transformation is the one that transforms the cylinder to the sphere. It will also be useful to recall the free field representation of SL2. So here I copied the metric together with the anti-symmetric Navier-Schwarz 2 form, giving rise to the WZW model on SL2 in the phi and gamma coordinates. I can equivalently introduce spin 1 forms, beta and beta bar, and write this section in this form, integrating them out, bring me back to the original point. Like in Liouville theory, however, this exponential renormalizes and a dilaton is turned on, so we end up with this action, which is the Wurmschmidt action leading to the free boson representation of the SL2 current algebra. The important point here is that we see the geometrical interpretation of the free fields gamma and phi. Some vertex operators that we will use later in the free field representation have this form. They are parametrized by the quantum numbers of J, J3 equal to M and J3 bar equal to M bar, and are given by powers of gamma and gamma bar and exponents of phi. Next, I want to study the spacetime properties of strings on ADS3. The Wurmschmidt affine SL2 leads, as usual, to three conserved charges in the spacetime theory, which I denote by L0, L plus 1, and L minus 1, given by the contour integrals over the currents J3 and J plus minus. These satisfy the Lie algebra of SL2R. However, we expect in this theory that the SL2R Lie algebra is extended to the full infinite dimensional Virasoro algebra with central charge. So our next task is to derive the Virasoro algebra and compute its central charge. As a warm-up exercise related to the problem I want to tackle, let me consider a conformal field theory on N, which contains an affine G symmetry with currents K at level K prime. Normally, this leads in space-time to dim G conserved currents, which are given by the contour integrals over the affine currents, and which I denote by T0 for zero mode in a second. These obtain the Lie algebra G. However, in our case, the spacetime theory is expected to be a two-dimensional conformal field theory, and we find that the Lie algebra is enhanced to an affine G symmetry in spacetime with these commutation relations, and the generators Tn correspond to the contour integrals of these vertex operators. Without doing any computation, I could conclude that these must be the Tn's simply because the commutator of L0 and Tn is minus n, which means that Tn has charge n under J3. So, to obtain such a generator, I must dress the K with a dimension zero operator with charge N under J3. And there is a single candidate. It is the operator gamma that I presented in the free field representation, whose dimension is zero, and gamma to the N is nothing but, you may like to call, the vertex operator of SL2 with quantum number J equal to zero and J3 equal to N. To compute the commutation relation, all I have to do is to the standard thing of double contour integral of the OPE of these two operators. This OPE has two singular terms. The pole, when double integrated, give rise to the Tn plus n generator on the right-hand side of the commutator, simply because the gammas power sum to n plus n. And there is another term in the OPE, which is this double pole term, and this has to be analyzed a little bit more carefully. To perform the double integral and pick up its pole, we have to take a derivative to expand gamma to the power of n of z around w, and when we do this simple computation, which is just this, we end up with nk prime over 2 times the contour integral of gamma to the n plus m minus 1, the derivative of gamma. This term is central. It commutes with all the generators, and moreover, it commutes with all the physical vertex operators. It vanishes if n plus n are non-zero, and when n plus m equal to zero, it is this expression, which I denote by p, and is an integer number. This integer number counts the number of times gamma winds around some origin when z winds once around z equal to zero. It is a charge carried by the vacuum of the theory, but not by the excitations of the string. To see what is its space-time interpretation, let me note again that p is the number of times the string world sheet wraps the angular coordinate theta of ADS3. Let me also mention, for that purpose, that target space is simply connected, and therefore there are no windings of perturbative string states. Therefore, one is led to interpret the string theory on ADS3 as having p infinitely stretched fundamental strings at the boundary. So to summarize, what we saw is that affine G on the world sheet is lifted to an affine G in space-time with a level k in space-time, which is the product of the level on the world sheet times this charge p, and string vacua with different p correspond to different sectors of the theory. So when you tell me that you consider string theory on ADS3, you have to tell me in which sector do you consider it. So we are now ready to turn back to the original problem of finding the space-time Virasoro algebra. And I will not do it in such detail because, in principle, it is the same thing with a little additional input. So let me first present here the representation I choose for the Virasoro generators. They are the contour integrals, for instance, of this object. To get it, we begin with the general linear combination of the three SL2 currents appropriately dressed by powers of gamma. This is nothing but a vertex operator for a photon in curl 2 plus 1 dimensional space, which has one physical polarization, which I can choose to be this one. To find the commutation relations of DLs, I perform the double contour integral of the OPE of these two objects. One finds on the right-hand side three terms, or four, I don't remember, with many numbers in front of them, which conspire to close the algebra on the Virasoro algebra with a central charge which equal to 6 times the level of SL2, K, times the number of fundamental strings in the SL2 background. As a remark, one could notice that the Virasoro algebra acts as holomorphic reparametrization symmetry on gamma. This is its commutation relation with it, which implies that we may identify Ln with this diffeomorphism transformation. This strengthens the interpretation of gamma as the coordinate in the boundary of ADS in space-time. This result for the central, this explicit result for the central charge leads to a quantization of the string coupling, the final result would be that the string coupling in the P sector behaves like 1 over the square root of P. And this is obtained simply by comparing the central charge to the central charge we know at a 2 plus 1 dimensional gravity theory has for a theory with negative cosmological constant. Let me say it more precisely. At low energy, the space-time theory is 2 plus 1 dimensional gravity with negative cosmological constant minus 1 over L squared, where L is the radius of ADS3, plus some other. Of course, I go beyond this low energy limit, but we learned that for such a gravity, no matter what matter comes with it, the central charge is 3 times the radius of ADS3 divided by twice the Newton constant. So comparing the two, one obtained this result. So the theory is weakly coupled when P is large. It is straightforward to deal with physical states. Here there is an example for a class of them, but this transparency looks a bit messy, so let me instead consider for simplicity just the holomorphic part of a class of physical states. They correspond to physical vertex operators, for which I present here only the class, which I build in the following way. So suppose Wn is a primary of the conformal field theory n with dimension n. N does not need to be integer. I will dress it with an ADS3 operator VJn with quantum numbers J and J3 equal to m. Being physical means that the dimension of this operator is 1. And to find its properties under the space-time symmetry, for instance, the Virasoro, we have to look for its commutator, and this is the result. This result means something simple, which will be clear when I will refresh our memory with results in two-dimensional conformal field theory. Given a primary field A of dimension H, of scaling dimension H, which has such a mode expansion, therefore, we know that A satisfies this commutation relation with the Virasoro algebra. Therefore, what we read from here is that the physical of J specified by J and M correspond to the mode M of a primary operator in space-time, in the space-time conformal field theory, with scaling dimension H equal to J plus 1. It is also easy to establish the properties of physical states under the affine G in space-time. So given a primary WN of affine G on the world sheet, which is in the representation R of the group G, performing this commutator, we see that being in the representation R on the world sheet is lifted to a physical state in the representation R in space-time. So to summarize, the lesson we learned about the world sheet space-time correspondence is that the affine SL2 times SL2 at level K on the world sheet is lifted to a direct product of two Virasoro algebras with central charge 6K times an integer number P. An affine G with level K is lifted in space-time to an affine G at level KP. Operators with quantum number J, I did not consider the spin, but one can easily do the exercise for operators that have spin S as well, corresponding space-time to physical states with dimensions H and H bar, where H is J plus 1, or the class of operators I showed. Operators in the representation R of G on the world sheet are lifted to operators in the representation R of G in space-time. Left chirality goes to left chirality on space-time. And correlation functions of physical vertex operators satisfy the world identities of a two-dimensional conformal field theory. This is simply because physical operators obey these commutation relations with the Virasoro generators. Moreover, the LNs with a positive modes should be interpreted as annihilation operators in space-time because the energy of states has to be positive. And these two lead immediately to correlation functions obeying the world identities in space-time. Altogether, this establishes the ADS conformal field theory conjecture in the full string theory for the case of ADS3. Oh, it stopped? I have... I'm sorry, I have 1 plus epsilon transparencies. It's half a minute. This whole discussion of the bosonic string can immediately be generalized to the superstring. To go to the fermionic string, one just enhanced the n equal to 0 principle to an n equal 1. This is straightforward, but it still does not get rid of the tachyon. To get rid of the tachyon, we have to perform a chiral GSO projection, which when done, leaves 8 mutually local BRST invariant spin fields in the twisted sector of this projection, giving rise to 8 supercharges, which are the contour integrals over the spin fields in space-time, which together with the Virasoro algebra in a fine SU2, I consider a particular case just for concreteness, but this is way more general than that of ADS 3 times S3 times T4, so the S3 gives rise to an SU2, a fine symmetry in space-time, together with these two symmetries which I proved to be there, no matter what the theory is, they generate the full n equal to 4 superconformal algebra for the left mover, and together with the right mover, we have an n equal 4,4 superconformal field theory in space-time. The discussion of physical states, world entities, and so on follows immediately. This discussion applies to several issues of interest. It has relations to the theory of the Navier-Schwarz five-brain, relations to the D1-D5 system and the extreme infrared limit. It could be compared to the sigma model on T4N modus N. It has explicit prediction for the BTZ black holes in terms of what they are, what are the states contributing to their entropy, and of course everything agrees perfectly with the Bekenstein-Hawking prediction. So I will stop here.
There is no S matrix in anti-consider spaces, and yet you're doing fundamental string theory where the only BRST invariant, I think, is the S matrix. So what are you going to compute?
Correlation no, function,
so,
I think.
So the question is, since there's no S matrix in anti-de-Sitter space, but the string perturbation expansion is defined in terms of an S matrix, how do you reconcile those two statements?
I think string theory knows all about that. If you consider string theory on backgrounds with zero cosmological constant, then what you obtain in space-time is that the object that you have to compute is the S matrix. However, as I showed here, when you consider string theory on backgrounds with negative cosmological constant, string theory tells us that the things that are of interest in the space-time theory are correlation functions.
Greg?
I did not think about it.
Hiroshi?
I ask your opinion. From the talk by Jan de Boer yesterday, I understand that Virasoro algebra in question changes the number of particles by creating gravitons. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Virasoro operator you constructed realized on the first constant of string Hilbert space.
No, you're talking about world sheets. Your question refers to the space-time.
Yeah,
in the space-time, this is precisely what they do.
So my question is that how you reconcile the fact that the other algebra are realized on the first contact string towards the linear construction?
This is on the world sheet. Your question refers to the space-time.
The
can I repeat the question?
I think
the question is that we know that these L's should, when acting on single particle states, should take us to the Hilbert space of multi-particle states. And yet I consider the first quanta string How do I obtain this result? Is this the question?
Yes.
So my answer was that it is the first quantum string on the world sheet. It does not mean that in the space-time theory, what would happen is precisely what you say should happen. And in fact, it does. The space-time theory is a conformal free theory. And as it happens in conformal free theory, it would happen also there.
Tom?
I'm sorry, what question? I didn't hear what it was.
In the space-time conformal field theory, there are two different classes of operators, which, for example, in the ATS5 plus S5 case, are very clearly distinguished from each other in the underlying Yang-Mills theory in terms of the number of products of traces that you have. And these are interpreted as single particle or single string operators versus multiple string operators. Now, I didn't understand from your discussion, you got vertex operators in the single string Hilbert space, and you made a correspondence between those and certain operators in the conformal field theory. Did you only get what are called the single string operators, or did you somehow get the multiple string operators also in the single string Hilbert space?
Yeah, of course, this discussion, which is very interesting, is quite premature with respect to what I was able to show in this talk. I think that the answer should be that in the space-time theory, you expect to see in this framework all what you would expect to see. I cannot show it to you for two reasons. One is that I will have to talk perhaps for a longer time than I will be permitted right now. And second, I did not study all these aspects in a precise and complete way. This is still left to be done.
Ed?
Well, if I understand correctly, you attribute the states of the black hole to explanations of a string that are on the boundary of the universe?
Yes.
My naive question is, what keeps those strings up? Why don't they shrink inward?
So the question is, why don't the strings shrink into the ball?
Why don't the strings just run all the way around the boundary of the emissive thing?
Why don't they?
They're infinite. There you go.
They still produce their energy free life.
Yes.
Gary?
Yeah, I have another way of asking Ed's question.
I will have the same way to answer it.
If you look at the Euclidean ADF, so presumably when you talk about states and the black hole, you're talking about some periodically identified hyperbolic plane. So is that right? You make a periodic identification?
No,
The question is there a periodic identification in the space that you're using?
This could be one way to obtain it, but this is not the way I think about it. I suggest, as was suggested by others before me, that, I can show another transparency, as I learned in previous talks. I know that in the 2D conformal free theory, the density of states at level L0 and L0 bar is given by this formula if the theory is unitary, and it is unitary in my case. If I interpret the mass and angular momentum of the black hole as I learned from others in this particular way, then the states contributing to the entropy of the black hole are all the multi-particle states with a total L0 and L0 bar corresponding to this mass and angular momentum.
Okay, we should probably stop there and thank Amit again.